Welcome back, everyone, to the Hikes Peak Podcast. Thank you for coming back to the mountain. We're in the thick of basketball season with about a month to go before the Mountain West Conference Tournament. We'll go over what each team got done this week, and we'll end the show by going over every team's breakout performer. Regardless of team success, we got plenty of players who have been showing out this year. Lots to get to this week. Let's dive in. Per usual, we'll start at the top of the power rankings and work our way down, starting with still at number one, we have the New Mexico Lobos. They took care of business this week, beating Colorado State by 22 points and beating Air Force by 35. That Colorado State game was a little tougher. They were only up by 4 points going into the second half, but Donovan Dent and Nelly Jr. Joseph really turned up the heat defensively, and the Lobos were able to cruise to a double-digit win. Now at 20-4 on the season, 12-1 in conference, definitely in the driver's seat for their first regular season title in a decade. At number two, as expected, we have Utah State. They outlasted Wyoming 71-67 in a game that was close down the stretch, but Wyoming just wasn't able to get the lead back in the second half. Magoon Gwath continuing to play very well. Just such a versatile center that helps you on both ends of the floor. And that was probably the key in that one, as Wyoming just didn't have a big man that could really answer him. And the Aggies also beat Fresno State by 8 points. They entered the second half up by 19, put in some backups, let the lead slip a little bit, but still had the game well within control. Utah State comfortably in the field of 68 at this point, even if they aren't able to catch New Mexico for the regular season title. It would be shocking if Utah State didn't end up in March Madness. In the third spot, we have Colorado State. They were competitive early against New Mexico, but did fade in the second half to lose big. We did just talk about that. But then they rebounded, beating San Diego State in a 68-63 boxing match. Neat Clifford had 20 points and 10 rebounds. He continues to put together his case for Conference Player of the Year, trying to catch up to Donovan Dent there. At the very least, Neat Clifford building his NBA draft stock up even more compared to where it was last year when he briefly tested the NBA Combine waters. The Rams sit at 15-8 overall with a 9-3 in conference record. They gotta stay hot down the stretch and maybe pick up a quad one win here or there against Utah State or New Mexico. That would certainly help their resume. But if they keep stacking wins, the Rams are going to be hard to keep out of March Madness. At number four, we have Boise State, who did what they wanted to this week. They handled UNLV by 9 points and then blew out San Jose State by 27. They have a really big game against San Diego State coming up this week, so we'll see how they play in that one. Close to a must-win game for both of those teams. Speaking of, at the five spot, we have San Diego State, who only played in one game this week. They lost by 5 to Colorado State. Just weren't able to find enough offensive firepower down the stretch in that one. The Aztecs certainly have a very solid team, but if they keep slipping up, their losses start to get close to those double-digit marks. They may be starting to get on the wrong side of the bubble in terms of trying to make it to the big dance. At number six, we have Nevada, who is starting to play better as of recently. They're up to 14-10 on the year. Nick Davidson took over in the second half to help the Wolfpack beat Air Force 74-60. He had 20 points just in the second half, finished with like 25 on the day. And then they took care of business against Fresno State, beating them by 25 points. Considering Nevada started the season 0-4 in conference play, the fact that they've gotten their record up to 6-7 is pretty impressive. Nevada slowly climbing back up the Mountain West standings. In the 7 hole, we have UNLV, who is now at 500 with a 12-12 record. They fell short against Boise State by 9 points, but then they beat Wyoming by 11, 69-58. That snapped their 5-game losing streak, so just a wild ride that this UNLV season has been. Before that 5-game losing streak started, they beat San Diego State and Utah State in back-to-back games. We focused a lot on that podcast about a month ago, how UNLV might be back and they might have turned the corner, and then they lose 5 straight games. So I'm glad that they broke that streak, back to their winning ways. Deedon Thomas Jr. still playing the best basketball of his career, but overall, UNLV still trying to find their footing. At number 8, we have San Jose State. We did mention their blowout loss to Boise State, but before that, they had quite the exciting win against Fresno State. It took 2 overtimes to get their 94-91 victory, but Latrell Davis and Josh Adjudge both dropped 30 points. I mean, that's just ridiculous, having two guys account for essentially 2/3 of your points. Josh Adjudge, the former Utah State transfer, has been their leading scorer. Latrell Davis, the sophomore. We'll talk about him in a little bit. He has been just exploding offensively recently, definitely making a run at sixth man of the year in this conference. And while the Spartans aren't challenging for a top four spot in the conference, making any noise to make the NIT or anything like that, they are putting the pieces together for Tim Miles to build something here in San Jose. At number nine, we have Wyoming, who had a rough week. They led for most of the first half against San Diego State, but just couldn't get the lead back once they lost it in the second half. Ended up losing to the Aztecs 71-67, and then they just were stunted offensively against UNLV, lost to them by 11 points, 68-57. Similar to San Jose State, Wyoming not in a position to make any postseason tournaments, but still trying to put together the foundation for the future. Bit of a rough week, but still, it's not like it's an indictment on Sundance Wicks and the Cowboys' future. And bringing up the rear, we have Fresno State at number 10, sitting at 5-19. They lost in double overtime to San Jose State, just another heartbreaking loss. And then they couldn't overcome their bad first half against Utah State, ended up losing that one by 8. And then last night were blown out by Nevada. Their losing streak is up to 7 games at this point, and they have lost 13 out of 14. The Bulldogs still trying to find their rhythm under Vance Wahlberg. Doesn't seem like they're going to find their rhythm in 2025. And finally, as expected, Air Force at number 11. They are now at 3-21 overall. They were competitive in their 14-point loss to Nevada, just didn't have a defensive answer for Nick Davidson, and then they were blown out by 35 to New Mexico. The Falcons' losing streak is up to 14, and with 3 games on the schedule for this upcoming week, they could tie that 2008 streak of 17 straight losses, so that's definitely something to monitor down the stretch here. All right, let's move on to each team's breakout player. This was a really fun topic to dive into. I love to see what players have made leaps and bounds to their games, comparing the 2024 season to the 2025, and we've found a lot of players that have really elevated their game and really made themselves into very solid Mountain West players. We're going to go in alphabetical order here. So starting with Air Force, I have sophomore center Wesley Selahusky. The 7-footer was seldom used as a freshman, but this year he's gotten a lot more playing time, averaging 9.5 points a game, which is over 7 points more than what he had last year, close to a block a game, shooting over 30% from three, which is something that you have to be able to do on this Air Force offense. And the sophomore is the second leading scorer on the team currently behind Ethan Taylor. So has this been a perfect season for Air Force? Absolutely not. But the production of Selahusky and the fact that he still has 2 more years in a Falcons uniform, hopefully, that is an encouraging sign for the future of the Joe Scott era. For Boise State, this was a pretty easy selection. We got sophomore small forward Andrew Meadow, who slided into the starting lineup after his freshman season. And this year, he's averaging close to 12 points a game. That's 8 points more than last year. 4.5 rebounds as well. Been very efficient from the floor, including shooting 86% from the free throw line, which is over 26% better than what he was last year. Third leading scorer on the team for the Broncos, Andrew Meadow has been a key part of Boise State's attempt to get back to March Madness. For Colorado State, this was another pretty easy selection, with sophomore point guard Keon Evans sticking out. He was a solid bench option in his freshman season, but this year he has emerged as a full-time starter and a real dynamic option at the point guard spot, averaging 9 points a game, well over his 2-point average from his freshman year, averaging 3 assists and 3 rebounds a game, shooting close to 40% from 3-point land. He's the third leading scorer on the Rams right now, behind Neat Clifford and Jalen Lake, and with both of those guys scheduled to graduate at the end of the season, Keon Evans certainly looks like the future of the Rams offensively. For Fresno State, it was a little bit tougher to find a pick here, so I went with senior shooting guard Jalen Weaver. He was solid for the Bulldogs last year, but this year as a full-time starter, his stats have really elevated up to 12.5 points a game, which is 5 more than he had last year, 4 rebounds a game as well, over a steal a game, which is very impressive. The efficiency hasn't quite been there, shooting under 40% from the field, but he has elevated his free throw shooting to over 80%, was only shooting about 63% last year, so that's a very encouraging sign. Second leading scorer on the team for the Bulldogs, Jalen Weaver, definitely going to be a big part of this team down the stretch. Next up for Nevada, I got sophomore power forward Justin McBride, who transferred in from Oklahoma State, and he has really been coming into his own down the stretch here, averaging close to 8 points a game. That's 5 more than he did in his freshman year at Oklahoma State. State, 4 rebounds a game as well. That's second most on the team. And his efficiency has also been going up. He's shooting 30% from three now. He's shooting 59% from the free throw line, which doesn't sound amazing, but he was only shooting 20% from the free throw line as a Cowboy. So now starting to make leaps and bounds at the free throw line. If Justin McBride stays in Reno for the rest of his career, he could definitely slide right into Nick Davidson's role as Nevada's number one option going forward. Next up for New Mexico, easy pick here. We have graduate power forward Mustafa Amzeel. The former Dayton transfer is having the best year of his career by far, averaging 12.5 points a game, 5.5 rebounds. He's the third leading scorer on the team and second leading rebounder. The efficiency hasn't really moved a ton, but with the counting stats being where there are, it's undeniable that Mustafa Amzeel has been a big part of why the Lobos are sitting atop the Mountain West standings. Another easy pick here at San Diego State, we got sophomore small forward Miles Byrd. He was a bench option for the first 2 years in San Diego, but now as a full-time starter and the undisputed number one option, Miles Byrd has really stepped up, averaging 13.5 points a game, 4 rebounds, 2.5 assists, also averaging 2 steals and a block per game, which is just ridiculous. He is the Aztecs' leading scorer, and while the efficiency leaves a bit to be desired at 39% from the field, Miles Byrd is still putting together quite the season that is certainly going to get him noticed by NBA scouts. Staying in state for San Jose State, we got sophomore shooting guard Latrell Davis. The friend of the show has absolutely exploded in the last 2-3 weeks. He's now averaging over 11 points a game, which is 5 points more than last year, also averaging 3 rebounds a game, and ridiculously, he is shooting 45% from 3. That's 15.5% more than he was shooting last year. Despite only starting 2 games for the Spartans, he's their third leading scorer. Latrell Davis is sprinting towards that Sixth Man of the Year award. He's certainly going to get my vote as of right now. Next for UNLV, this one was a little bit hard to find, but I decided to go with junior small forward Jaden Henley, who transferred in from DePaul. This is his first time as a full-time starter, and he has really taken advantage, averaging 11.5 points a game, close to 4 rebounds, and also 1.5 steals a game, which is very impressive. The efficiency has been solid, but he shoots over 90% from the free throw line, which not only is 15% better than what he shot last year, but is also the best mark in the Mountain West right now. Henley is the second leading scorer on the Rebels behind Deaden Thomas Jr. While we have talked about the UNLV transfers not really living up to the hype, Jaden Henley has not fallen into that bucket. He has been a great pickup for Kevin Kruger and UNLV. Next at Utah State, we got sophomore power forward Carson Templin. He was not used much as a freshman, just a spot bench piece. But this season, Carson Templin has been the ultimate spark plug for Jared Calhoun and the Aggies. He's averaging 8.5 points a game, 5.5 rebounds, shooting 55% from the field, 34% from three. He's tied for the third leading scorer on this Aggies team. And while they have more depth than arguably anybody in the conference, Carson Templin wasn't really assumed to be a part of that depth, but just his energy and motor has been undeniable throughout this season. And that's why he's gotten so much playing time and has played so well for the Aggies. And last but not least for Wyoming, we got senior shooting guard Obi Ogbeam, who has just been incredible this year. He transferred from D2 Fort Lewis, where last year he was very solid, but he has been even better on the D1 level. He's averaging 17.5 points a game this year, which is 2 more than he did on the D2 level, 3.5 assists, 3.5 rebounds, and he is also shooting 44.4% from 3, which he was not doing on the D2 level. He was only shooting about 35%, but now Obi Ogbeam is the top 3-point shooter in the entire Mountain West. He's the team leader in scoring, assists, and steals. There's no telling where this Cowboys team would be without the production and leadership of Obi Ogbeam. That is it for this week's episode of the Hike Speak Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We're on the home stretch of the regular season, so keep hiking up here for the latest and greatest. Also, our Mountain West transfer tracker is out now, so you can find a link to the full list of portal entries in the description on your podcast app. Follow us on Twitter at MWC Connection and find all of your Mountain West news at MWCConnection.com. If you enjoyed the episode, rate the show 5 stars on whatever platform you're listening on, or leave us a review on iTunes. Nothing else to show out more than that, so any ratings would be greatly appreciated. Thank you again for listening. I'm thankful for each and every one of you out there that tunes in. Until next time, I'm Jack Thompson, and thank you for coming back to the Mountain.